Good morning, everyone. Nice to be back. Today's lesson from Dancing with Shiva, Sloka 144. What is the view of monastic theism? Monistic theism is the synthesis of monism and dualism. It says God is transcendent and immanent, eternal and temporal, being and becoming, creator and created, absolute and relative, efficient and material cause. Om. Bhasya. Both strict monism and dualism are fatally flawed, for neither alone encompasses the whole of truth. In other words, it is not a choice between the God is man and world view of pantheistic monism and the God is separate from man and world view of theistic dualism. It is both. Panentheism, which describes all in God and God in all. And monistic theism are Western terms for Advaita Ishvaravada. It is a view that embraces the oneness of God and soul, monism, and the reality of the personal God, theism. As panentheists, we believe in an internal oneness of God and man at the level of Satya, Ananda, and Parashiva, but a difference is acknowledged during the evolution of the soul body. Ultimately, even this difference merges in identity. Thus, there is perfectly beginningless oneness and a temporary difference which resolves itself in perfect identity. In the acceptance of this identity, monistic theists differ from most Vishishtadvaitins. The Vedas declare, he moves and he moves not. He is far, yet he is near. He is within all that is, yet is also outside. Second quote, the man who sees all beings in the self and the self in all beings is free from loathing. Okay, so a bit of a philosophical lesson. Well, as you know, I have a simple way of explaining it, which is, we have two temples, not counting Yerevan. We have two temples, Kadavul and the Guru Temple. So Kadavul is for theism and the Gurupeedam is for monism. Keeps it simple, right? Separate room for each practice. So we want to make sure we hold the right perspective in the right room. The one exception is after a puja. After a puja, we can shift from theism to monism. But during the puja, we're supposed to be in theism. We're not supposed to be in monism. We're not sitting here to go within ourselves during a puja. No, we're sitting here to receive the blessings of the deity that's being worshipped. Theism. So here I am. The deity's greater than I am. I'm sitting here. I want to get blessed. I want to get purified. That's theism. That's what this room is all about. That's what puja and homa is all about. We should always have the deity. Even when we're doing a homa, we should have, you know, this is a Shiva homa, so we should in some way be visualizing Shiva as being in the homa. Otherwise, we're not. It's very hard to do theism without visualizations. We need to visualize. So we visualize getting blessed, getting purified, getting answers to our prayers. That's our theism. Then we go around the corner to the Gurupeedam, which the monks do on every Kula morning. We sit, we have a meditation in the Shum language. That's our monism. We're going inside ourself. We've given up the idea of being blessed. We've given up the idea of an external deity. We're going inside ourself. We're just seeing what's inside of us. There's no second person involved in the process. So, of course, we're familiar with that. And but we might, you know, the terminology, we might trip on the terminology, but The simple way is monism and theism. Two things, two English words, monism and theism. The Sanskrit term is Advaita Ishvara Vada. Vada means a doctrine. So Advaita means the monism, Ishvara means the theism. So the doctrine of monistic theism, Advaita Ishvara Vada. On the trip, one of the conversations was interesting and reminded me of why I created a certain short keynote. We met a Hindu in Maryland, and he was interested in pursuing meditation according to Gurudeva's concepts. And so he asked, well, should I be meditating on the feet of Shiva? And to myself, I went, oh no. He's got his theism and his monism mixed up there. I didn't say no. I said I'd send him some information. But it reminded me of the keynote I did, which I think the monks didn't see, but all the family people saw. Remember, it was on meditation, six kinds of meditation. I'll read it off. In presenting Gurudeva's approach to meditation, this is the text from the keynote. In presenting Gurudeva's approach to meditation to individuals who are not familiar with it, I was initially surprised by what their current idea of meditation was, such as meditating on the feet of Shiva, and the variety of approaches being practiced. Understanding these different types of meditation gives us a clearer concept about Gurudeva's approach to meditation through the Shum language. If you understand what something isn't, it can help understand what it is what that is saying. You don't carry elements of what it isn't into the meditation practice, because this has clearly been described, well, that's what it's not. Gurudeva was first defining Shum words. He did so in a very systematic way. He would say what it wasn't, and he would say what it was. So I ran into, there's a Hindu in Fort Worth who's attached to the Blue Mountain Meditation Center. And he mentioned the Blue Mountain approach to meditation, and I was really surprised. It's called passage meditation. Eknath Iswaran is an exponent of this approach to meditation. The Blue Mountain Meditation Center website describes it as silent repetition in the mind of memorized inspirational passages from the world's great religions. That's called meditation. You're remembering scripture, and it doesn't have to be Hindu scripture, any scripture. You're just remembering scripture, thinking about scripture. Isn't that interesting? I never would have imagined that would have been called meditation. But it's very popular. It's a popular meditation center. Silent repetition in the mind of memorized inspirational passages from the world's great religions. Visualizing the form of the deity. That's what the person in Maryland wanted to do. The approach here is that, for example, we are meditating on Lord Shiva by mentally visualizing the murti of Nataraja. So to us, that's theism, that's not monism. That's what we do when we attend puja. We can visualize. Visualizing, as I mentioned, can be helpful with the homa, so we remember the deities there. Vision of the deity. This approach is to use the sixth chakra of divine sight to have an actual vision of the deity. Sounds great, right? But it doesn't count as meditation. It's a valid experience, but that's not meditation. That's striving for a vision of the deity. Repeating a mantra. The approach is to mentally repeat a mantra over and over again. So that's not what we're doing. Repeating a mantra combined with pranayama. This approach adds to the previous mantra repetition, doing a pranayama at the same time. So that's not it either. Experiencing an aspect of the superconscious realms. This approach is to, for example, listen to the high, listen to the inner high-pitched E sound, or to see the inner clear white light. That's us right there. We're experiencing something that's inside of us. We're using our inner sight, our ability to see within, our ability to hear within, to experience something that's there. That's the practice of Shum meditation. So Gurudeva gives a simple description of this approach, Shiva Chaitanya, which sometimes we do. Inner light, jyoti, observe the light that illumines the thoughts. Concentrate only on that light, as you might practice being more aware of the light of a TV screen than its pictures. Sacred sound, nada, listen to the constant high-pitched E sounding in the head. It is like the tone of an electrical transformer. 100 tamburas distantly playing, or a humming swarm of bees. So that's our approach. And then in Shum, we use two words that relate to that, Shumif and Dimphi. Shumif, of course, we remember. Shumif, one of four perspectives, the meditative viewpoint of being awareness flowing from one area of the inner mind to another. The mind itself being stationary. 2, the perspective of the Shum Chef language. 3, it is also simply called the Shum perspective. 4, in Saiva Siddhanta, it includes the deeper meditative practices. 5, it is Advaita or a monistic viewpoint. Dimphi, one of four perspectives, the metaphysical viewpoint of looking into inner and outer space. It is a perspective that acknowledges, understands, and communicates with God and gods, beings on the astral plane, people from other planets. 3, it is here that all psychic phenomena take place. 4, in Saiva Siddhanta, it includes the consciousness of the devas, Mahadevas, and God Shiva experienced in the temple. 5, it is Dvaita, or a dualistic viewpoint. And there's a nice bhasya on this from Gurudeva. In Shumnam meditation, the Shumif perspective of the three worlds and seven dimensions of the mind does not involve us in the knowledge of the devas and mahadevas who live in the inner worlds. You would be experiencing through the Shumif perspective exactly what the devas would experience in the second and third world were they to meditate upon the Shum concepts. Shumif is pure Advaita. When we become conscious of devas, mahadevas, or our personal deity, we have transferred our perspective into what is called Dimphi, which is pure Dvaitist. A very nice explanation there. So, as I mentioned, the only exception is after the puja, in the situation where it's quiet after the puja, which isn't the 9 a.m. puja in the morning, but say our 6 a.m. puja, then it's, Gurudeva says, it's nice to sit afterwards and go within yourself. So you're shifting perspectives if you do that, even though you're in Kaudhava. After the puja, you can sit and meditate, shift to the monistic perspective. One can lead you into the other. Sometimes individuals want to start with deep meditation, but most people aren't able to do that. Theism leads into the monism. It's easier to approach the monism by first perfecting your theism, and then becoming a monist. That's called Saiva Siddhanta. I was on the trip, I was using the Three Temples approach. As it's not well understood out there. We understand it, but it talks about the, gives the name Pura Mandira, Sanskrit word, Pura Mandira, for the community temple, where we go and worship and supposed to go on a, once a week, Gurudeva encourages and learn how to feel the blessings of the deity through the murti and so forth. But if that's going well, as the text says, don't stop there. Consider moving on to the Griha Mandira, the home shrine. Griha, family. Griha Mandira. Oh, the second step is doing a puja ourselves in the home. So we're not supposed to just stop in attending a puja and call it good. That's all we do. No, it's supposed to be. Encourage us to take up doing a puja on a daily basis, after, particularly if we receive initiation, then it's a firm commitment. In other words, we can get more out of the puja when we do it ourselves than we can just by attending. It's the difference between listening to someone else sing a bhajan and singing it yourself, right? You can get so much out of listening, but when you sing it yourself, you put your heart into it more, and it's a deeper experience. But we're not even supposed to stop there. That's supposed to lead us into the Atma Mandira, or the temple of the body, or meditation. Oh, Yogaswami has a nice quote on that, which I don't recall. But you know, that's the idea. It's the three-step process, which again is Saiva Siddhanta. One leads to the other, which leads to the other. And the first two, of course, are theism in our description, and the last one is monism. Or said another way, when we go inside ourselves to end up in theism, we have to just come out. To have a vision of the deity, you have to come out. But if you're just trying to stay in, then that won't happen. You go into the inner light and the inner sound. So we're just trying to go in. We're not trying to go in and then come out, which is the way visions are perceived. Okay, well, thank you very much. Have a great phase.